Dr. Balaga here. This podcast belongs to a set of 10 podcasts on the topic of geriatrics. It's from an outstanding chapter on geriatrics in Balaga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It covers important topics, including functional decline and frailty, cognitive impairment and dementia, evaluation of cognitively impaired elderly driver, depression in late life, hearing impairment, vision impairment, urinary incontinence, undernutrition, pharmacotherapeutic considerations in the elderly, including pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics, elder abuse and neglect, goals of care and advanced directives, and prognostication. After listening to these 10 podcasts, you should have a solid foundation in geriatrics and should help you provide better care to your senior citizen patients. This chapter is authored by Dr. Jedet Ross, MD, who's professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. She is the Associate Program Director for Geriatric Fellowship and Director of Didactic Activities for Palliative Care and Geriatric Fellows. Her academic interests include integrating geriatric palliative care content into educational programs at the undergraduate and the graduate medical educational levels. The senior author is Dr. Eric Widera, MD, who's professor of clinical medicine in the Division of Geriatrics at the University of California, San Francisco, UCSF. He's also the associate program director for geriatrics. His main goal is to improve the care provided to elderly patients with severe chronic and or terminal conditions through program development and educational interventions. Multiple choice question. An 88-year-old with a metastatic cancer was recently discharged to home. While in the hospital, he and his family agreed that his primary goal for his care is comfort, and he stated a clear desire to be at home and to not to have cardiopulmonary resuscitation. His code status was changed in the hospital to do not resuscitate, that is DNR. Shortly after arriving at home, 911 was called by a friend who was concerned about a recent change in the patient's mental status. Upon arrival, the emergency personnel noted the patient was pulseless and CPR was initiated. What intervention may have resulted in care more consistent with the patient's preferences? A. A discharge summary clearly documenting the patient's core status. B. Completion of an advanced directive prior to discharge. C. Completion of a POLST form, that is, physician orders for life-sustaining treatment. And D. Durable power attorney form. And the answer is C, completion of a pulsed form, that is physician orders for life-sustaining treatment. Even though the physicians had changed the patient's code status to DNR in the hospital setting, this order does not apply to other settings. Pulsed serves as a tool to document end-of-life wishes as physician orders, which are actionable and respected across the continuum of healthcare settings. Completion of an advanced directive is recommended, although ambulance and other emergency personnel are required to provide CPR unless they are given a separate physician's order stating otherwise, even through a pulse form or an out-of-hospital do not resuscitate order. Individuals rarely have a singular goal for their medical care. Rather, they are likely to hold multiple goals that may include prolongation of life, maintenance of independence, prevention of illness, relief of suffering, and maximization of time with family and friends. Understanding these goals should be the basis of shared decision making. Goals serve as a guide from which specific treatment plans are made, ranging from immediate decisions regarding life-sustaining treatments to longer-term decisions such as preferences for cancer screening. The 7-step models that clinicians can use in having these discussions, including step 1, that is prepare, step 2, create structure, step 3, explore understanding and values, step 4, defining overarching goals, step 5, assist in making decisions, step 6, plan for follow-up, and step 7, document goals and decisions. Advanced directives are an important tool in documenting patients' goals of care and treatment preferences. Advanced directives often include instructions about the kind of care an individual wants near the end of life, as well who they would like to make decisions for them in the event they cannot do so. State-authorized portable orders, such as physician orders for life-sustaining treatment, PULSED, can be used in conjunction with advanced directives in order to translate patient preferences into specific medical orders to be honored by healthcare professionals in various healthcare settings. Listeners should read a New England Journal of Medicine article published in June 1, 2017, titled "Delegalizing Advanced Directives, Facilitating Advanced Care Planning," authored by Dr. Joshua Rolnick, MD, JD, Dr. David Ash, MD, MBA, and Dr. Scott Halperin, MD, PhD. In this elegant article, they argue that delegalizing advanced directives could make them more fluid, dynamic, and accessible tools for promoting patients' care preferences. In this article, they say when Louis Kuttner, a human rights lawyer, first proposed the Living Will in 1961, he conceptualized it as a document establishing a trust with the patient as the beneficiary and physicians as the trustees. He had expected that such a document be signed by 2 witnesses, notarized, and carried in the patient's pocket at all times. In 1976, California became the first state to create a Living Will statute, and today, 47 states have similar laws. States have also codified the ability to choose a surrogate decision maker, a right modeled after a legal construct, the power of attorney. The advance directive has now come to denote a legal document designating a healthcare decision maker, a living will, or both. This podcast is derived from an outstanding chapter on geriatrics in Baliga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's authored by Dr. Jeanette Ross, MD, professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. She is also the Associate Program Director for Geriatric Fellowship. Her academic interests include integrating geriatric palliative care content into educational programs at the undergraduate and graduate medical education levels. Her main interests include advanced communication skills, goals of care, pain management, and management of falls in the elderly. Her clinical activities are based in the South Texas VA healthcare system, where she is a staff physician within the geriatrics department and extended care services, and she is affiliated with the Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center. She works in the Geriatrics and Palliative Care Consultation Service and the Geriatrics Clinic. Dr. Eric Widera, MD, is Professor of Clinical Medicine in the Division of Geriatrics at UCSF. that is University of California, San Francisco. He's also the Associate Program Director for Geriatrics. His main goal is to improve the care provided to elderly patients with severe chronic and or terminal conditions through program development and educational innovations. Dr. Widera accomplishes this through various leadership roles, including Director of the Hospice and Palliative Care Service at San Francisco VA Medical Center, and he's the Program Director for the Geriatric Fellowship at UCSF. He has been the recipient of numerous grants and awards, including a Geriatric Academic Center Award at the Hastings Center Cunniff Dixon Physician Award, and the Hartford Foundation as a Center of Excellence Faculty Scholar Award.